it was only 100 years ago that the Wright brothers made international headlines just for getting a plane off the ground. Historian James Tobin puts the Wright brothers' achievement in context in a new book called To Conquer the Air, The Wright Brothers and the Great Race for Flight. Tobin says, it's easy to forget how astonishing it is that we can fly at all.
I'm still kind of embarrassed even this morning when I flew here. I caught myself not looking out the window. And I thought, that's terrible. This is a miracle. Every time we do this, it's just the greatest thing. And it ought to be savored and enjoyed. It is extraordinary that we've become so kind of blasé about it.
I think the thing that was so startling for me in reading about the Wright brothers and all the others who pursued this dream is that I don't understand how they came up with the ideas they had. I mean, when you don't know how to do it at all, how do you start?
Oh, that's such a good question. Really, several of them were flummoxed for years by that question. Samuel Langley, the Secretary of the Smithsonian, whom I write about quite extensively, spent just ages and ages trying to figure out the most basic questions of how you would build a flying machine, basic structures, basic shapes. The Wrights, too, they didn't stall very long on that question, but they did watch birds very carefully to try and get ideas. That was sort of the haunting thing, was that all around these people were creatures that could fly beautifully and gracefully. And it was frustrating and drove them crazy that these animals could fly so well. And we just didn't, for all our other technological accomplishments, we didn't seem to be able to catch the trick of it.
Langley, who was really an astronomer, was the one whose passion, and I guess political position in some ways, made it possible for American experimentation in flight to go forward.
Right. Because Langley was the Secretary of the Smithsonian, he was really the most prominent and in some ways the most powerful scientist in the nation. And so when he took up the problem, it was possible for him to call on quite considerable federal resources for research.
Okay, he's working at the same time as the Wright brothers.
Yes.
They are in Dayton, Ohio, sellers of bicycles. But somehow they saw this problem differently?
They did see it differently, and there's no real good way to explain why they were so perceptive, except to say that they, particularly Wilbur Wright in the early years, just had an extraordinary gift for scientific inquiry. They were unschooled, uneducated, didn't really have very much experience with anything other than the mechanics of bicycles. And yet, Wilbur especially possessed this ability to take apart a problem and to look at the pieces of the problem one by one. He believed that there were engines good enough to do the job. He believed that there were wings that were probably good enough to do the job. The problem that had to be solved was the problem of balance, equilibrium, steering. And so that's what he really seized on.
Give me an example. What did he do?
Well, he started with a kind of inspiration through the close observation of birds, specifically pigeons, which we don't really think of as the most graceful flyers in nature. But he had read a fair amount about the theories of flight. People really didn't understand very much about how birds kept their balance. So he had looked at the various theories and then watched pigeons very carefully and watched soaring birds outside of Dayton and came up with the idea that was a tremendous breakthrough that birds controlled their balance by shifting the angles of the tips of their wings. And he believed that it might be possible to build a flying machine that would do the same thing.
And they were willing to take this slowly. They didn't need to put the motor on the thing first. They were satisfied to test their ideas out as gliders.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, really, I've thought about this even more lately. The great advantage that they had as amateurs, that they didn't feel anybody looking over their shoulder. Langley was terrified by all the political pressure and scientific pressure that was on him.
He's spending a lot of government money.
That's right. And sort of the prestige of the Smithsonian was riding on his efforts. And the Wrights were really hobbyists and sportsmen. This was both, especially in the first couple of years, a kind of vacation for them, but also very much a recreational pursuit. They were principally interested at first in the idea specifically of gliding. They thought that eventually they might get to the point where they could work on a powered machine, but that didn't come until a little bit later. And so it was sort of the joy of gliding that they were working on at first.
When did they begin to get the idea that they'd got something?
Well, in the summer of 1902, summer and fall, they built this bigger, better controlled glider after some real problems in their 1901 flying season. They went back in 1902, and this glider was spectacular.
What was different?
Well, it just had all of the mechanisms of control were in place and went together perfectly. And that was the first flying machine, if you will, that incorporated all of those elements. And it was that machine that they got their patent on, their original patent on, not the powered flying machine of the following year.
How did they make the jump then? When did they decide to
make it
self-powered?
When they had that success in 1902, they went back and decided, went back to Dayton, that is, that fall and winter, 1902, 1903, and realized that with not terribly great modifications, they could put an engine on essentially the same machine. Now, they also had to build the first really effective aerial propellers, and then they were ready to try it the following fall. It's astonishing how fast they worked and how much progress they made in such a short time. Aviation historians, it's one of the things that they point out, is just how quickly these guys advanced. Other technologies advanced much more slowly.
So it's the fall of 1903. The Wright brothers are waiting. Langley is at this point with his aerodrome convinced that he's got a machine that's going to be the first one.
Right. They've got the engine where they want it. They believed that because the smaller unmanned models had flown, including a new one that was an exact model of the large aerodrome, that one had flown successfully. So they figured, well, this is it. Unfortunately, both tests in the fall of 1903 were colossal failures. Not just failures, but with the whole world watching, with reporters all around them. And
poor old Langley, he was on a barge out on the Potomac River, reporters all around, Alexander Graham Bell there.
It's a sort of a sad and tragic scene. Langley is not the most likable character in our history, and yet I came to have a kind of sympathy for him because he wanted this so badly. Langley really wanted to be one of the great figures in the history of science. He felt this very deeply.
Well, this gave the Wright brothers the opening they needed. They must have been a little concerned down there in Kitty Hawk, thinking that they were about to be beaten.
Well, they were anxious, although they were in the Outer Banks where there wasn't a lot of media coverage. They had a couple of friends sending them newspaper clippings about what Langley was up to, so they had some idea. But what they felt was that they ought to at least get a test in before the end of the flying season. It was already getting cold in the late fall. They had terrible problems with propeller shafts. Orville had to run back to Dayton by train to get new propeller shafts made. But they were determined that they were going to try and get a real substantial test in before Christmas. And so they did.
They flipped a coin to see who the pilot was going to be?
Right. The pilot was going to be Wilbur, and he had the first try at it on December 14th, but couldn't handle the control and came down very abruptly. Broke a couple pieces. They fixed him. And so on December 17th, it was Orville's turn to try. Orville tends to get most of the credit because he was the one who was then next in line from the coin toss and flew the machine for 12 seconds. In fact, Wilbur, later that day, flew for 59 seconds, a much longer distance, and that's really the first legitimate powered flight.
And controlled flight.
Controlled flight. That's right. Yeah. That's the difference.
You know, the other thing that astonishes me at this point is that you talk about how fast they moved in order to get to this plane, the one that went 59 seconds in the air. You'd think that it would take years then to get to 5 minutes, but they really kept up the pace, didn't they?
Well, they did keep up the pace. It was really two more years until the fall of 1905. That was when they could do pretty much whatever they wanted to. They flew for an hour or two at a time. Then they were ready to go to market to sell the machine and to show it to the world.
Now, there's been a lot of question in the last few years about whether they really were the first, whether it was really their invention. The way you talk, there's clearly no doubt in your mind that...
Well, there's certainly no doubt in my mind, and that's partly because other aviation historians with more background on the matter than I have gone over all the evidence and concluded that the Wrights invented the airplane in a more convincing way than Edison invented the light bulb or Bell invented the telephone. This was really their innovation. There are many, many claimants to having done it before them. I mean, it's very difficult to disprove each one of these when somebody says, well, my, you know, great-great-grandfather actually flew before the Wright brothers. Those are usually matters of legend. And there is, as far as we know, there's no substantial proof for any of those claims. We certainly know that it was the Wright brothers' airplane that was developed into the airplanes that we have and fly today.
James Tobin is the author of To Conquer the Air, The Wright Brothers and the Great Race for Flight.